Hey everybody, it's me, Bonnie, your host of the Grieving Girl podcast, and today we have the amazing, the gorge, Catherine Brunner. Slay! Welcome in to the Grieving Girl studio, Kat.
Thank you. I'm so honored to be here.
Yes. Kat is gracing us on our day off, everyone. Just so you know, this is not happening during the week. This is on a day off because we needed to get ourselves together.
Yes, we did. We did.
How are you feeling?
How are you doing? I'm feeling good. I finished up my Christmas shopping yesterday, which was good, but I'm also just so tired. Like, doing the show during this time of year, it's so joyful to be doing a holiday show, but it's also exhausting. it's been good overall. I think like the show itself is wonderful. Shameless plug to come see the show.
Yeah, come see the show if you can get a ticket. I actually have to say this is probably one of my favorite Christmas shows that I've done.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something about it. I just feel like the show flows. Like it's the perfect length. Like it moves. It's touching, but it's not too heavy. I don't know. I'm like, right. It's a good one.
It is. And I think the people also bring a lot of heart to it. So it's been a really good group to be with around the holidays.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you wouldn't mind sharing your grief experience and why you were hand-selected by me to do this holiday season. Whatever you would like to share with our listeners, watchers, would be great to start with.
Yeah. I mean, gosh, I feel like that's such a good question, but a loaded question, like, your grief story. Mm-hmm. So I'll try to sum it up in somewhat of a short-ish story. But I feel like we haven't really been able to talk about this, you and I. Like, I think we know each other's stories, but like not maybe fully in depth. And
absolutely. I actually was thinking about that earlier. I was like, I don't really know what happened. Like, I know that you're back up, right? But that's like all I know.
Yeah. So my dad came down with cancer in 2000. He was diagnosed in 2010, but he was actually going to the doctor for about a year being like, something's wrong with me. And he was also, there was a lot of medical malpractice for him. So he went to the doctor multiple times. There were about four doctors that missed his scan, the tumor on his kidney, for about a year. And then by the time he was diagnosed, he took himself to the ER and was diagnosed with stage 4 transitional cell cancer, which is like a super rare form of cancer. And so being a man, being like, something's wrong with me, and people being like, nothing's wrong with you, I can't even imagine what it's like for a woman in, unfortunately don't have a lot of confidence and faith in the medical field from what I've been through, as I'm sure you don't either. So So I think that because of all of that, he fought cancer for about a year, and it was looking really good for a while. His tumor started shrinking, and then they switched him to a different chemo because it started spreading to his lungs, and then that's when things just went really south, and he ended up passing in May of 2010. So he fought just over a year. So I think that when it comes to my grief, there's just a lot of, it's hard. I mean, anger is a big part of grief, but I think when you go through medical malpractice, there's a lot of anger because the feeling of, oh, well, they should still be here. Mm-hmm. And especially, for my dad, if it was caught when he first took himself to the doctor, he would likely still be here. So that's really tough. And I think the holidays bring around that even more so when you go through the holidays, no matter how long you have lost the person, those milestones, the New Year's, birthdays, things like that, they bring about this level of, oh, well, they should still be here. And I think a big moment in my grief was planning my wedding and my dad not being there for that, because that's something you ever think like, oh, this big part of person in my life You've always imagine that they are there on days like that, those big milestone days. But
Right.
something really cool about me and my dad's relationship, which was he was the one that was really, I wouldn't say he got me into theater. Like, I always expressed an interest in it, but he was the one that took me to, dance classes and voice lessons. He always did my hair for my shows. Like, he was girl
Oh.
dad, girl dad. A lot of times he like picked out my outfits for school. So, that we had that relationship, which was really special. And, I have a lot of memories of, going to New York with him. I have a lot of memories at the Walnut with my dad. Just driving down after school and us having fun dinners out in between shows in Philly and things like that. So I was able, I dedicated the chair to him during
Yeah.
Cinderella a couple years ago. So that was really special for me and my family as well, just because we all of us have so many memories with my dad, not only in Philly, but at the Walnut specifically.
Yeah.
So it always is very special to be back. There are moments that can feel hard and difficult because I do. Have a lot of memories with him there, but
Right.
in a way it's therapeutic in a way to move through a space as an adult, having gone through something like that. And just to have those moments that you remember with the
Yeah.
person. Yeah. But that's, I think, a big reason why I love theater, so that's why I still do it, but a big reason why I have stuck it out because I have such it's I feel like it connects me to my dad,
Well, because it was like probably years of just not just you doing it, but like you said, like he was in it with you. So absolutely, there's just like a string, an invisible string with something like that. Were you in high school? I'm trying to think of like 2010, was that high school for you or college?
I was a freshman
Okay.
and he ended up passing when I was a sophomore.
Okay.
So, and so I was 16, which is such an interesting age to be going through something like that. My brother was 13. Both just horrible ages to be going through something like that. And I think
Yeah.
that being that age really played a big role in my grief because when you're 16, all you want to do is fit in and be liked. And it became clear very, very early on in my grief, like the months after my dad passed, that grief made people very uncomfortable. And it was annoying. Like, it could be annoying, or, like I once had someone look at me and be like, "What's wrong with you?" Because I was having a bad day a couple months after my dad passed. And I wasn't like my normal chipper self. And so that was a big moment where I clocked, like, oh, outwardly showing that I'm upset or not okay is not something that is gonna bode well for me if I want to, like, be liked or have friends. Which is so crazy looking back on that, but I think that also it's just an interesting time in life where no one really understands what to do, or, not going through something like that is a privilege. But people don't understand that at that age, and obviously I didn't either. So, I didn't know how to communicate what I needed as well in those moments. So I just decided to push it down, push it down, push it down. And I don't think I really started grieving until I got to college, and it came out in really unhealthy ways, like drinking too much or like not eating enough. Eating disorders were a big part of my journey as well. So, it comes out, if you don't ha tackle it head on, it comes out in really ugly ways where then you're forced to handle it and it can affect your relationships really negatively, which in my case it did. So, I look back on that time and I wish I could just hug myself in college because it was just a really dark time in moments, but I'm grateful for that time because it has shaped me into the person I am today.
I was 14 when my dad died, and I mean it's just like such a weird thing, because you like do get it, but like you don't get it, and then the kids around you don't get it. And I actually was sitting here this morning being like, did I care? Like, that sounds so hard, but I'm like, I just don't remember feeling the loss of my dad the way I do about my mom. So it's just like so weird to be like, did I even care? Like, clearly I did. Like, I don't remember being rocked. But I also think it's because it was like just like you said, of like, oh, that's not going to bode well for me. Like, people don't want to see me sad. So, like, I'm just not going to be sad. Going back to, my mom asking a therapist, like, do I need to bring her in? And then being like, well, is she like giving outward signs that she's like not okay? When in reality, it should have been like, no, she's acting like everything's fine. And that should have been like the red flag, right? Of like, no, and everything is not okay. So the fact that this kid is acting like nothing has changed is probably a problem.
Yeah, that's a huge sign, I think.
Like, that's
Especially as
so
a woman.
interesting.
Yeah, like I think that we're taught as little girls to or at least just from what I remember of like, follow the rules and, always say please and thank you, which, I think in some respects that's great, but also when you are 16 or 14 or you're going through your grief and it's just such an interesting time. You shove it down and you just act like everything's fine. And I totally did. I think that I also kept myself really busy, but I also played sports all growing up. So I think that was a really healthy outlet for me, but I would like get thrown off the field a lot because I was so aggressive. That was like my one place where I was able to be angry and like it was acceptable.
Well,
So I would get red carded all the time.
you're like, all these people better watch out. Yeah, it's
Literally.
just so interesting. I was just thinking about this morning. Just like,
Yeah.
what happened? Like, what was I doing? What, like,
Yeah.
how was I grieving that loss at 14?
Yeah.
Like, it's just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think as you get older, you realize the kinds of people you need to be around. I mean, like going back to high school, even through up until recently, like people just don't get it and they say really hurtful things. Like I once was told that my grief is annoying, like the way I grieve my dad is annoying and oh, you're pulling the dad card or oh, what are some other ones? You should be over it. Why aren't you over this? Why are you still upset about this? Things like that that they stick with you. They really do, and that becomes the narrative that you tell yourself and it's like the idea of burdening someone, but in reality, moving through grief shouldn't be a burden on the people that love you, and it's just about finding people that are emotionally capable of holding space for you, because not everyone is, I think, especially if they don't understand, or have that empathy piece,
Well,
so.
yeah, especially like in the younger in the younger ages, even like you said, like it's a luxury for the for other kids to not, or a privilege that they don't need to understand, and they shouldn't have to, right? Like, that's the thing. Like, a 14-year-old should not have to. Unfortunately, there are those of us who were handed those the stupid deck. I hate the deck of cards, thing, but it's true. It's like
It
we were
is,
given this shit deck of cards, okay, and
It's like a
only.
club you never wanted to have admittance
Right.
to.
So, like, is it a fault of the other 14-year-olds that they just like handle it so poorly? It's like, no, I can't blame you, but we can talk about it more around teenagers, tweenagers, so that they start saying kinder things or earlier, or just like checking themselves.
Yeah, totally. And it's interesting, I've had really beautiful conversations with friends from high school, where they've been like, I'm so sorry if I didn't show up for you in the way that you needed. But I mean, that's so kind of people to say if they do, but my response is always, I didn't even know what I needed. So with the fact that you're even reflecting back and being like, oh, I'm sorry if I made you feel this way, the answer is always no, like I didn't know what I needed, and I know I didn't handle things perfectly either. So you also can't fault yourself for things you do when you're 16 and are trying to navigate life. I mean, that's when you're like falling in love for the first time sometimes, or you're just trying to fit in or get into college, things like that, that could get through school, so and who knows what people are going through at home, you don't really know. So
It's true. It's like nobody knows what they need at that point
no.
in time
I didn't know what
at
I
all.
needed.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, since this is like the, holiday season of the podcast, I'm curious, like, especially, I mean, you mentioning just like working at the Walnut reminds you of your dad, especially like around the holidays. I imagine that's like probably even more difficult in like this slot, maybe. Is there any like holiday tradition that you guys had that you find that you really, really try to stick with? Or is there anything that you're just like, I actually, we used to do this, I loved it, and I can't do it anymore because it's too hard?
Yeah, I think it changes from year to year, and it's so interesting. It's so hard because there's not like a steadfast, like, we stop doing this because it's too hard. We kind of are flexible within that, and I think, we always spend Christmas Eve with my dad's family, and that's a huge tradition. And the first year after he passed is was definitely the hardest, but each year is hard depending on the things that you're going through. So, or you're navigating in your life at that time, and I think that we've pretty much stayed true to the traditions that we've always had, but there is a tradition that I love that we have stuck with, and I'm so grateful we have, is my dad's family. We will, before we open presents, like, we'll have a really great dinner, and then we'll sit around the Christmas tree and sing Christmas songs. And it is tough, and there's usually tears, people cry, and I always get teary-eyed. Because in a way, a moment of reflecting on the year, and the people that are still here, the people that are not still here, and it's beautiful. And so I think that that's probably the tradition that reminds me the most of my dad. But we've tried to keep things implemented, and I will say that's something my mom has done really well. A really good job of doing is honoring my dad. And I think it's tricky finding the right balance of, honoring him, but not, it's toeing the line of not making other people feel like they should be doing something more in their grief. Because everyone in my dad's family has a different way of grieving. And that's something I think that we learned the hard way early on, is that some people are really comfortable talking about him, and some people are just really not comfortable talking about him. So, and that's tricky, because I think I enjoy talking about my dad with the people that knew him. It's not something I talk about really a lot, just because I think that's also my own experience of grief, is like, you just never want to make other people feel uncomfortable. But I think that is something that I do wish, is that, especially within my dad's family, is that, people felt like they could talk about him more. But I also think that everyone has a different experience with grief, and what makes them feel comfortable and able to get through the holiday. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's fair. My sister and I were talking about our family does like a huge Pollyanna, and like we're just like we really can't go right now. Like it's just too crazy. Like it feels weird. It feels bad. We're just like it's not like anybody's like sitting there like having a great time, not recognizing that like my mom's not there. But it's everybody has their own way of doing it. So we've had that conversation also of just like for us right now, it's just like we can't come. That doesn't mean it's like a forever thing. It's just like we're not there. But also I'm sure our aunts are probably like, when are you gonna come? I don't know. It's like it's very interesting to like figure out how the family is mourning the same person. But I think that that's, I always want to write a play about just like one loss and how it just like affects so many different people and how everybody has their own coping thing and whatever.
Of course.
Was your dad's family like really musical? I'm like assuming that it's like a music family if he was the one who got you into theater and you're sitting around a tree singing.
I definitely musical. I'm the only person that pursued theater as a profession, but my dad actually was a really good diver, and he was also a dancer. Like, he choreographed dances in college, and
Love.
just so fun. He got a scholarship to college for diving, but by that point he was just so burnt out. So he went to Westchester University, where he met my mom, and met my mom, and she was going to school for education, and he was like, "Oh, I could do that." And then they fell in love, and both became teachers. And but I think, my parents always say that education and entertaining children in a classroom is just like being a performer. You can't really have a moment where you like let up, especially if you're
Absolutely.
with younger kids, which they were both fourth grade teachers, which I think is a great age. I love that age. It's like 8, 9.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Speaking of traditions, like after, like we tried a lot the first year after my dad died. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but like we tried. My mom decided the first birthday after my dad passed to sing happy birthday to him with our family there. I don't know if you've ever done that, but it was
Nope.
probably the worst thing I've ever experienced in my entire
Nope.
life. It was the saddest thing I've ever experienced. My mom like brings out a cake and we're singing happy birthday to my dad and everyone's crying. It's like a core memory to me. Like, you know, an Inside Out when like the ball comes out. Like that's like a core memory for me of like bad, bad.
Time slowed down for the entirety of a happy birthday. But you know, it's so interesting because it's just like she was probably just like, there are people who, you know, on blogs and all these forums that will say, like, you know, on a birthday, you could have a cake for them and like you can do all these things. So she was probably trying to keep it together for you guys. And in reality, it should have been like, what do we want to do for dad's birthday? Right? Of like, let's all talk about this. Does that sound good? Like, that's probably coming from someone where the person has been gone for years. Years and years and years and years. Where it's like, okay, that could be nice. It will never be nice for me. I can tell you that.
I think that my mom,
Mom.
as it was happening, I was watching her face and
Yeah,
she was like,
she's probably
oh,
just like,
Mayday, Mayday,
yeah.
like bad idea. 'Cause his birthday is also very close to his anniversary. So that time of year, like
Yeah, just.
April, like mid-April to May is tough for for me and my family. 'Cause it's just like miles, like whammy after whammy of, you know, being triggered. So yeah, I think it was just a multitude of things.
Yeah, trying
Would
her
not
best
recommend.
and realizing in the moment that this was not it.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Hey, you know, you gotta try, and sometimes you fail. You don't always hit the mark with things like
And you know, now you can at least tell the story and be like, remember that was a crazy idea. That was wild.
That didn't work. That was
We tried our
awful.
best. Yeah. I don't really know what I do on birthdays. I kind of just like, for them, I just sometimes I go to the cemetery, I guess, but just like don't really acknowledge too much.
Yeah,
Yeah, just kind of
definitely.
move through the day.
Yeah. Going to the cemetery is always hard for me, and I was actually thinking of stopping by this year. Something that Blake and I did before we got married was I brought him to the grave for the first time, and it was really special because it was the first time he ever went, and he was really into it. Like he asked for some time alone with my dad, which I thought was the sweetest thing ever. And you know, but it's always tough for me that going there. I don't know if I don't want to say I don't know why, because I do know why, but why that over other things is harder. You know what I mean? I think it's just like seeing the name, you
It's
know,
just like
and right. It's
finite
so
in front of your eyes.
finite. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was like not into it with my dad, and then once my mom was there, I was like, well, I was going like every week. Now I almost feel like I'm the keeper of the grave. I'm like, is it nice? Is it neat? Like, whatever. I gotta take things there now because like my mom would do it. Now I'm like, oh, now I gotta take care of this rock,
The
because our
gravekeeper.
cemetery does such a bad job at it. I mean, I don't mind going. I usually like make it part of my Cherry Hill errands. Like it's never just to just do that. It's always like, I'm gonna be in Cherry Hill. There's usually a holiday. I should go do that. I've tried to just like release the pressure because like it's I yeah, because it's rough. Who wants to, you know, stand there and like talk to air?
Yeah, and just it's always raining when I go. Like it's just like, you know, it's like
No.
it's
Not the
always,
raining.
yeah, it's just, you know. Do you ever get signs from your parents? Like, do you have anything that you're like, oh, that's my mom or that's my dad?
I get a lot of signs. Never like it, you know, we always associate butterflies with my mom, which I think is interesting. Because it's not like she was a lover of butterflies. She wasn't like collecting them. But yeah, butterflies always seem to be a thing for her. I guess we would say like a cardinal is my dad, but like
Yeah.
I don't ever really feel him around. Actually, more recently, I have felt him around. I'm more of
Yeah.
like a feeler. But like
Yes.
we have had things happen where like the lights blow up, or like just like we had a day where my grandma used to say, this will tell you who my grandmother was. She would be like, "When I die, I want you to play Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead, as I get rolled out of church." So we were like, okay. So the day after my mom's funeral, her Alexa was like in the kitchen, and her kitchen was kind of like not near the living room at all. And we were like sitting in the living room, me, my sister, her kids, and my brother-in-law, and we like heard this like weird noise, and we're like, "What is that?" Go into the kitchen. The Alexa is playing Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead, but it starts as Glinda's like coming in the bubble. So it was like a very like eerie, like, and I was like, what? It was Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead. And I was like, okay, that's
Stop.
minimum. Just being
Yeah.
like, shh, I have her. Because we always, you know,
Oh.
like, you gotta like earn your energy and your wings a little bit. So my mom had like
Yeah.
just shown up. So I felt like my grandmom was kind of.
Oh yeah. She was like, "Don't worry, I got her."
Yeah. Which like
Yeah.
it just makes me emotional because, you know, like we talked about, like I mean my mom, it was very traumatic and sudden where it was just like she wasn't ready, right? So like
Right.
she didn't know. So it was like for a while it was like, is she somewhere? Like where is she?
Right, I know.
So the fact that there was like a lot of signs where my grandmom was coming through, but she was always the more spiritual person anyway. I mean, she was our most
Okay.
religious, probably, but she was also very spiritual in science and stuff.
Yeah.
So
Then
that was like a
that's
Ding
definitely
Dong
the
the Witch
sign.
is Dead. And her name is Miriam. And like, Miriam's not a very common name. I will hear
No.
Miriam all the time in Starbucks.
No way.
Yeah, like multiple different Starbucks, never the same location. Like Miriam will always get called. And I'm just like,
Wow.
that's bizarre.
That is bizarre. That's so crazy.
Yeah,
Oh my
so
gosh.
we are believers of signs and like mediums and all of that stuff. 'Cause it's also just like, that's all you have at the end of the
I
day. It's like,
know. That's, yeah. And I think that, you know, everyone believes what they want to believe, and some people are very vocal in my family about like not believing in signs, but why it bothers me when people are like that, because it's like, if that's what gets other people through, why are you like my family? Like, my dad sends dimes.
yeah.
Like, have you heard the saying that kisses are for amateurs? Or not kisses, this is, I literally just tied in like all these stories. We can cut that. No, just kidding. Pennies are kisses from heaven. I don't know if you've heard that
Yes.
sign. So my mom went to
Yes.
a medium about a year after my dad passed, and our family would find dimes everywhere. I didn't really think much of it. And the medium was like, "Oh, your family's been finding a lot of dimes." And my mom was like, "Yeah, we do find a lot of dimes." And she was like, "Your husband wants you to know that he sends dimes because pennies are for amateurs." Which is something that he would have totally said. Like, he just had that sense of humor. Like, he loved a practical joke. He loved things like that. Like, he was so silly. And so we find dimes everywhere. And what's so crazy, I got one of the best signs I think I ever got, the day before my wedding. We were checking into the hotel. I always find one dime, just
Okay.
one dime, usually all throughout the years. Especially if I'm having a bad day, I'll just like find one on the street, or, you know, literally in a box somewhere. That why would there be a diamond? You know, just like things like that,
Sure.
or like a dime falls out of my wallet when I open it.
Yeah.
And when I checked into the hotel, there were two dimes just sitting on the counter right when I checked in. And it was like my dad being like, "This, you know,
Yes.
yes, I'm here. I got you. And like, this is your time. Like, this is meant to be, you know."
Yeah.
So, because I think there's always, especially, I was just so close with my dad, and it was a huge thing for me to work through, of him never getting to meet Blake and Blake never getting to meet him. And,
Yeah.
you know, so it was a big moment for me of like trusting that
Right.
he would have loved him as much as I think he would have, you know
Yeah.
what I mean? So
Yeah.
that was a really big, yeah, a big sign that I got. That's probably the most recent one that I've gotten.
Yeah, and that's like a really good one. That was either like he was doubling down on the dimes, or it was like a dime for you, a dime for Blake, you know?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Actually,
That's
in
really
my
cool.
wedding photos, I kept the two dimes on the counter next to all my jewelry, and they got in the photos. In
Aww, I love
the detailed
that.
photos. Yeah.
You're like,
Yeah.
we will take those. Thank you so much.
Exactly.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice to like a griever or a support system of a griever during the holiday season?
Yeah, I do. I think that for someone who's grieving, learning from my mistakes, I think I always say to people who are grieving, just let yourself move through it in the moment and try not to fight it, because I always think of grief as waves and, or like the ocean, sometimes it's super calm and you can just like wade in the water and just like and not enjoy it, but it's calm, and then sometimes it's super rough, and the more you try to fight the waves, you just go under or you can drown. So you can either ride or you can sink or swim. Exactly. So I think that if you, the more you try to fight it, the more it's going to come out in a destructive way. So if you can give yourself the space to grieve in the way that you need to and cry, whether it's with people or by yourself. I'm a big crier. Just under my covers at night. It's just like what I think helps me the most. Or like putting on a movie. If I feel like I need to cry, just like put on a movie I know it'll make me cry. And then I'll just like, you know what I mean?
Trigger the
But
tears.
yeah, exactly. But for someone who is a support system of someone who is grieving, I think one of my biggest pieces of advice is that actions speak louder than words. It's really easy to say, yes, I'll show up for you. But it's harder to just show up and just be there, and I wouldn't say like insert yourself, but just be someone that is there to listen instead of like the empty words of like, well, whatever you need, like just let me know. Because a lot of times if you are grieving, you're not actively reaching out like, hey, can you help me with this or can you help me with that? Because a lot of times you don't even know what you need. So and I think also for someone who is grieving, getting comfortable with saying, this is what I need in this moment. Whether it's I need you to just sit here with me, or I need you to listen to me, or I need space right now, So it's just, it's never black and white. It's always gray. But, on both sides, I think it can be helpful to be like, what do you need in this moment? Or this is what I need in this moment, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I feel like there's always a lot of like, well, let me know. And it's like,
Yeah.
nobody that's like actually sad and depressed is gonna like take out their phone and be like, I need you to do blank for me. Like, it's
Right.
just not
Exactly.
happening. It's
Right.
just not gonna happen.
Yeah. Like I think that one of the best things that my family, I let you think back at that time, that the week that my dad died, there was just I remember the people that were there physically. And I'd have such like a whether I've expressed this then or not, but I just, you have such a tie to those people who were there. Even and it's not even like to talk about anything. It's just to like literally to be there, and share space with you. So, and you do remember the people that weren't as well, unfortunately,
It's
So
very true. It's
yeah,
so
whether I mean
true.
whether you want to or not, it's just like you just not that it's even like, oh, you weren't, like you're testing people, but you do remember those things, and it does shape who like you feel like you can lean on more in moments where you actively are looking for someone in a moment to be like, hey, can you show up for me?
You know who I think is even worse? The people who have never been around and then all of a sudden try to be around. Guys, if you know if you're that person or if you're not, you know if you've been actively friends for like 5 years prior. If your last text message is from 2016, don't try and show up at my house in the worst moments of my life. That's crazy.
I know. I know. I think there are people, and I don't know if it's intentional, but they Yeah, they almost, and you know, there's also the people that like take it personally that you're not like talking to them about your grief, you know. It's just like people, it brings out the worst, the best and the worst in people, you know. You say
Yeah.
weddings and funerals bring out the best and worst in people, and I have seen it firsthand.
It's just like, I don't know. It's like the thing again about like actions speak louder than words and like being there for someone all, well, yes, but also acknowledging of like, does this person have people around them? Yes. Am I the person that needs to be, I don't know, in their physical space? Like, I don't, there's just like, of like, take a moment, 'cause I think people, again, don't know what to do. Uncomfortable, and like we all have friends that like we love from afar that like I haven't talked to them in so long and I love them, of course, but acknowledging of like, but I haven't talked to them in so long, so I'm probably not that person that like needs to be up there, but in the first week that this has happened, like, you know what I mean? It's just so interesting how people do react, especially, and it's usually people who like either have experienced it a ton and want to offer, you know, advice and help, or people who have never experienced it all. Right? Because it's like, you know, now I have lost both of my parents, but like, am I going to, you know, contact a sorority sister I haven't talked to in 7 years from now and be, or, you know, I haven't talked to them since I graduated and be like, I've experienced this and I have all the answers for you? No, I don't, because everybody's thing is so different. And it's just acknowledging that, like, sometimes you're just not that person, and that's okay.
Knowing who you are in that person's life, you know, and
Yeah.
it's okay if you're not the one that shows up and is the savior. You
Right.
know, the savior of
Right.
grief.
Yeah. The
If that
savior
makes
of
sense.
grief. If only there was a true savior of grief, I would probably be so much more mentally well.
Same.
If only.
I mean, thank goodness. I mean, I will say that's something that I am grateful for is my mom put me in therapy. There is this group close to where I grew up called Safe Harbor. And I was put in a group of kids my age who had also lost a parent. And it was so helpful for me because it was the one place where I could say something and be like, yeah, my friend's really frustrating me because they keep complaining about their dad. And then everyone in the group would be like, oh my God, me too. But I feel like I
Right.
can't tell them because they don't get it. You know, it's just having that. And we always said it, you know, it's the we're in a club, you know, you're in a club
Right.
that you don't want to be in, but it's helpful when you do have other people in that club you can talk to. And I still talk to those people like on Facebook in that group. It was just such a important thing for me. I think my brother's experience with it was a little different because he's a lot more quiet than me. And I think that just like the stars didn't align. There wasn't really anyone he connected with in his group. But, you know, yeah, that was a big part of my healing and just validating what
Yeah.
my experience was, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I
Yeah.
feel
And that's
like.
why I think that, like, I mean, this podcast is amazing. I wish I had something like this when I was in the throes of my grief because, you know, when you have something that is validating of your feelings and your experience, it's like, oh, okay, like I'm not crazy. You know, like
Yeah.
what I'm experiencing is really hard and painful, and there are other people. Like it is very isolating. You can feel very alone when you are
Yeah.
grieving.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I feel like I wish I would have gone to therapy younger, but who knows? And like hindsight's 20/20, you know, of like probably should have done that, but I guess I was like quotes fine, so like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, is anyone ever fine, really?
Right. Right. Just putting on the show since, you know, the day I was born. Jesus, God. But yeah, you know, I even have like I have a handful of like teenagers now that follow me from like the thing I did out in Iowa a few times with the Jimmy Awards and then my dance students, and some of them have lost parents, and I'm like, I wonder if they listen. I hope they do, 'cause like I think I'm fun. I think like, you know, the people I have
You are
on are
fun.
fine. Like that's, we're keeping it light. We're keeping it like millennial. Like we're trying to keep the conversation, you know, relatable, which was the whole point. But yeah, there are some times where I'm like, I wonder if anybody younger listens.
I
Just
think
because,
I
You
think
know,
I
you lost a parent in your teenage years. I did. Two of my girlfriends did. You know, my one
know.
friend who came in on in season one, we talked about her boyfriend in high school who was, you know, went to school with me. You know, he passed away and how that affected her, just like being the girlfriend of like, well, why are you sad? He, you know, like that whole thing, and like having like he was my friend but her boyfriend, and like we're all sitting in school together, a very like 13 Reasons Why kind of vibe, actually,
Got
like,
it, got it.
you know. So I do
Yeah.
hope the younger people listen in.
Yeah, I think I hope so too. I mean, it's hard being someone like, being the significant other of someone going through grief as well. And yeah, that's I think having the resources when you are that person is important as well, because there are you just never, you don't always know what to do, especially when you're younger like that,
Yeah,
So,
for sure. Yeah.
yeah.
All right. Well, I guess my last question would be, especially since you're kind of like a griever, we're advanced grievers in our timeline, in our
Wow, am I
unfortunate
an advanced
timeline.
griever?
I feel like we're advanced grievers because it's like loss at this point that's been, you know, like it's always fresh, it's always there, but it's
Right.
not, you know. Like with my dad, I literally, when I did the math the other day, I was like, 21, 21 Christmases. I was shook. I thought it was gonna be like 19. It
Wow.
was 21. I was like, not me losing track of time. So I'm like
Wow.
advanced plus plus, in that sense. When it
Mega
comes to,
advanced.
yeah, mega advanced griever of my dad, I guess. Is there anything that, like, you know, I try and like reflect every year, since this is like the last episode of The Grieving Girl for 2024,
Oh, that's right. Oh my
that
gosh.
you might like apply to like your grieving process, even though it's been, how many years has it been? I guess 2010, 14,
14, yeah.
awesome,
This will
14, it'll be
be,
15.
I think this will be the 14th Christmas.
Okay. Yeah, is there like anything that you almost like feel like you would like to tap back into, or I don't know, thing carry into the new year with your grief, or like reflect on, or like continue to work on? Since you were
Yeah.
someone like, we're both people, it's like I have found myself doing so much reflecting on how I grieved my dad. And being like, I probably, not that like, you know, every year you need to unpack something new, but I was thinking to myself, like, I think I need to like pull my journal back out,
That's wait,
maybe.
that's
And
so
like,
I that was gonna be my answer.
oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I need to like get back to writing a little bit, when I just, in terms of like, even if it's just like a griefy feeling of the day, or just like a thought, because it's like, again, it never leaves.
No, it's always there. It just changes forms.
Yeah, so like I'm trying in my, maybe in 2025, to like, one, I keep saying like I feel like there's been a shift with the grief of my mom, not that it is at all any lighter,
Sure.
but there are just more quotes good days than like horrible days.
Totally. Totally.
So like I'm just trying to continue on, like I want to be like suppressing the triggers more. I don't know what it is. Like, I'm trying to control what triggers me more in 2025 when it comes to her.
Yeah.
And then maybe kind of like trying to work through the cobwebs of like whatever happened with my dad in this new year. Do you have anything like that? Or are you just like, no, nah, I'm just going to keep rolling with it?
I mean, that's a great question. And I also think, because I love to write, and it's something that I don't make time for as much as I think I should. It's so healing for me. I think I do sometimes get triggered with the idea of journaling about my dad because that was such a big part of therapy as a kid. like my therapist, that I would see would be like, write a letter to your dad and then we can read it together. And while I think that that was really helpful and healing in that time of my life, it was really difficult. But I think that it would be really helpful for me now, being a 31-year-old woman who has been through a lot of life since he's passed, and feeling like I still have a relationship with him, even though he's not here, I think would be helpful for me. If that makes sense. I don't know. I feel like as someone who has lost
It
a
makes
parent would
total
understand that.
sense. No, it makes total sense. But you're also just like in a different place. So like a letter from, 16-year-old Kat is not gonna be a letter from 30-year-old Kat. How old are you? 31?
31, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Sorry, I have a
like
little
it's
tickle in my
just
throat.
Oh, you're good. You're good. Yeah, I mean it's just like you're even your processing is different,
Yeah, exactly.
I sat here this morning again and said, like, did I grieve? Like, was I unbothered? Like, I don't even remember.
Right.
I wish I would have read something that I wish I did write something down because, like, maybe I'd be like, oh, see, you did get it. You just were like, doing you. Or I'm like, I don't
Yeah.
remember. So, like, now at 35, I'm like, oh my God, it's way more loaded for me, I think, now than it was.
Yeah.
But I also can process it.
I also think, and I understand what you're saying. I think that when I lost my dad, I didn't understand the weight and the gravity of what it meant to
Yeah.
lose. I think I did understand how awful it was and how sad it was because I felt really sad, but I pushed it down. But when you're in your teens, like 14, 15, 16, you're not thinking like, oh, my dad's not going to be here when I graduate college or high school or be there for my wedding or see the birth of my first child or even like the little things of like
Yeah.
being able to call about something. Like there's so many times still to this day. I mean, now I'm in my 14th year without my dad and I'm like, oh, I need to call my dad about this. Or I'll see someone's phone caller ID pop up that just says dad. And like, I'm immediately like, oh God, like that's tough. Like
Yeah.
I don't have that, and I wish I had that. So like, there are moments like that, that I think will always be there, but you're not thinking about that when you're a teen.
Yeah.
I think when you're in your 20s and you understand that, oh God, like you understand the gravity
Yeah.
of life and loss a little bit
Yeah.
more, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. All
Yeah.
right. Well, I guess we're both gonna whip out our journals for
Let's
2025.
do it. We can hold each other accountable.
Advanced Dreamers Club.
Yeah, I love
It's for
it.
the 10 years plus.
A club I'm like kind of proud to be in, but never ever would like don't I don't want to be in.
No, yeah, we don't want to be in, but like, wow, we made it to the advanced level where it's like, yep, it's absolutely present every day, but it's just like, I don't know, there's a different process to it or something.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and
Yeah.
it's understanding, like being able to understand your feelings and get ahead of your triggers. I think that's
Yeah.
what it is in a way, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like literally I think what I'm trying to do in 2025 with my mom of like get ahead of it before it just like knocks me down.
Right.
We'll see if it works. It's only going to be year four. I mean, we're still in year three, which like again with the I don't know, the traumatic of it all just like really as you start in the negatives. Like it's like I don't know. I'm like it's just like so crazy. But
Well, I think also, not that like one is better or worse, but I think when you are
no.
like, I had about a year to mentally prepare myself, and like watching my dad be really, really sick. But I think
Yeah.
that, and that's like none is worse. But when you lose someone so quickly and you don't have the mental preparation, I think that there is you do kind of go into like the negatives of like
Yeah.
your grief because you're, oh.
Thumbs up. That is correct.
That you have it. Not like it stunts your grief, but you can't process it as quickly when it happens.
Right.
I don't know if that's making sense, but
No, it's absolutely making sense because there was just like it came out of nowhere. So like there was no prep, there was nothing. But then, like again, like you said, when you're watching someone, there's also the anticipatory grief because you know what's gonna come. Like you're already going through it and the person's even still here. So like there
Like
isn't
I
it's
think
all effing horrible. It's just different.
I think that like watching my dad be so sick for so long, it's like that idea of is he gonna make it? Is he not? Like the in between. It's
Yeah.
like living in purgatory. So,
Yeah.
and I don't wish either on anyone, so it's
Yeah, that's
tough.
rough. The in between, I imagine, is probably really horrible.
Yeah.
Of
It
like
was hard.
the hope and then like not hope. I'm just like, no. Cannot imagine that at all.
Yeah, it's I wouldn't wish it upon my worst enemy.
Oof. All right. Well, Catherine, thank you for joining us on the Raven Girl podcast. It was a
Of
pleasure
course.
having you on.
I also love that you call me Catherine.
Catherine, and that's a shout out to Adam Mandala because he calls you Catherine.
I
So for the
know.
longest time, I was like, oh, does she go by Catherine? Like, I, you know, everybody refers to you as Kat. So I was like, yeah,
Yep.
Kat. But then he's like, Catherine. And I was
I
like, oh,
know.
so she does go by Catherine.
I'll answer to both.
So, like, I just, you know, Catherine has stuck.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. I feel so regal. I'm like, who? Who is
Oh, tis
that?
I.
It's
But yeah, thank you so much for joining and sharing. I know the conversations aren't always easy, or maybe
But
it
no,
was
necessary, you know, very therapeutic.
therapeutic,
Yeah.
and
I've
hopefully we'll
never
reach
really like
somebody.
had the space to talk about it. So thank you for creating this space. I think it's so special.
Thank you. And you didn't cry, but I cried.
I
See,
know. I can't
we
believe I
trade
didn't cry.
spaces. It's, you
I
know,
know.
Christy was shocked that she cried, and I was like, girl, it comes out of nowhere for me
Yeah.
sometimes.
I think I
Yeah.
also I cried a lot last night. I watched It Ends With Us last
Oh,
night.
haven't watched it.
I think all my crying, I think I don't have any tears left. So
And
I think that's why.
that's it. And that's our
Yeah.
period.
No tears left.
All right. Well, so you heard it here first. If you want to cry, watch It Ends With Us on
Yeah,
Netflix.
yeah. It's I cried the whole time. It's actually, yeah. I have no other
Wait.
words.
There's no words. So great. So for anybody who's grieving and needs to cry, put it on.
Yeah.
And we'll catch you next year in the Grieving Girl studio or on the couch. Whoever knows anymore where we'll be. We're taking this
Love
bad
it.
boy on the road.
Ooh, I love it.
You know? Virtual, really. We just go anywhere. But
Yeah, great.
all right, you guys, I'll talk to you next year. Bye.